We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning, and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, and I come to you by the courtesy of the good folks at St. Paul's Lutheran in Nuwathes, Illinois, and at Trinity Darmstadt.
And I forgot to say where I'm from again, didn't I?
That's okay.
From Emmanuel Lutheran in beautiful Waterloo, Illinois.
And I just want people to understand the pressure that we're working under here, because everything is in flux. So we're actually operating in a room that's actually not supposed to be, apparently, for recording radio programs. We've got a gal. We want to say thanks to Jenny. She's a gal that sits outside the door in case somebody walks in so she can say, shh, shh. They're recording.
So thank you, Jenny.
Yeah, because normally, you know, in a regular studio, you don't have to do that. It's soundproof. People can come and go, but no. But
it does have a cool sliding door.
It does have a cool sliding door. It's not a soundproof door, but it is a cool sliding door.
But we're getting there. It's a beautiful new studio, and it's being set up, so the next time we record, we should be all set.
That's right. And we should have... I don't even want to go into it.
Well, until then, we are thankful at least for our sound effects.
Yes!
Yes! That's what I meant!
We do finally have our sound effects back, so we don't have to make up our own.
The listeners do not need to be subjected to our own homespun intro that they had 2 weeks ago.
That's right. Although, wasn't it remarkable? Because they came back in. We got a guy named Buzz here, who's just a great engineer. And so he came back in, and he... whatever they do, cut and pasted in the actual sound effects. And did you notice how our made-up sound effects were actually in sync with what the real sound effects and openings were supposed to be?
And Buzz sounded so surprised about that. Why was he so surprised?
Because we are radio professionals. He shouldn't have been surprised. We don't need...
making things up.
We don't need sound effects. We can do all this on our own. Now, wait a second. Right before you go to that...
Okay.
You can go and do it now.
You
can go and do that now. That's fine.
Oh, now I'm on.
Oh, now we lost it.
Oh, here we go.
There it is.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Okay.
Because this isn't foolishness. We want to remind people that we have a Twitter site now, Gospel, WWB. And, of course, if you follow the Pope, you can get some time off of purgatory. But, however, if you listen or read our Twitter site, you might actually get eternal salvation. Okay? Because you're focusing on the Gospel. It's all good. That Twitter site's all going to be about the good things that we have discovered that direct our attention to Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that's the power. That's what Paul says. That's the power that we might be saved. So
I think of our conqueror discussion last week. If our listeners heard that, and he is the one by whom we conquer. He is conquered, and because he's conquered, so do we.
And we're going to post that. We're going to post that on the Twitter site. Haven't done it yet. Isn't that a whole week passed, and I forgot to do that? But thank you for reminding
me.
To do that. I'm ready, Matt. I got my hat on. I got my bags packed. We're heading to Smyrna,
Here it goes.
We're going
full
to Smyrna.
Steam ahead. Yep. All aboard for Smyrna. Last week we talked a little bit about this second of these seven churches that the Lord writes letters to in the book of Revelation. And as we look at these letters to these churches, as we read their mail, we realize this is mail meant for us too.
Show that I actually was paying attention?
Please do.
All right, now correct me if I'm wrong, but you said the two big problems in Smyrna were, first of all, imperial worship.
Yes.
Right, which has nothing to do with Star Wars, but it has to do with the emperor.
Yes.
Who actually did claim to be a god, right? He was not just a great leader, but he was also God. And you also said a temple to the Senate as well?
Yeah, to the Roman Senate.
Yeah.
So, boy, they were really into this Roman worship stuff.
Well, but I'm thinking, could you see that happening, that we would ever have a temple to our Congress?
No, probably not. That might be a problem that's unique to Smyrna.
And then Jews. You said there was a lot of Jews in Smyrna.
And then there's the the Jews in Smyrna too, and the Jews, you know, not getting along well with the Christians here. In fact, giving the Christians trouble too, saying you're not really believers in the one true God. We are. So we'll see that in the letter how that comes up.
Okay.
And so the Christians here are facing struggles from a couple different directions. But what's kind of interesting and what makes this letter to Smyrna sort of unique is, as we read it, as we will in just a moment, the Lord encourages the people in Smyrna. That's the primary purpose, really, of this letter. In Ephesus, you know, the Lord had this word of law and warning for them, and rightly so. But here in Smyrna, the next letter that follows Ephesus, it's encouragement.
So more gospel in this one.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Okay. And encouraging them in the face of these different pressures and persecutions to stay firm. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into it. If you want to read verse 8 there of this letter to Smyrna.
And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan.
Okay. Well, yeah, why don't we stop there for a second?
Okay, yeah.
Let's talk about
that.
Synagogue of Satan. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
But first of all, what's interesting in these letters, too, is each letter is from the Lord. Each letter is really specifically from Jesus. So if you have your Bible out, our listeners, you'll see the red lettering. That's a tip off.
Oh, yeah. Mine's all red.
It's all red.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a tip off. This is Jesus talking here. And what's interesting is for each letter, he uses a unique name. I think that's kind of interesting.
Okay. That is interesting. I did not know that.
Ephesus, he's the one who walks among the golden lampstands, who holds the seven stars. And now in Smyrna, that's not who he is. Well, it's still who he is, but now he calls himself the first and the last, the one who died and came to life.
I never noticed that before. So will that pattern fall through with all of them? He has a unique title for himself. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of neat. And yet again, it's the same Savior. It's the same Jesus. But depending on who he speaks to, he has a different emphasis, it seems, that characterizes who he is. So for the folks here in Smyrna, he calls himself the first and the last. So what in the world does that mean?
That's a good question.
You have any insights, John?
Wait a second. This is your turn. Well, I'm assuming it's referring to the fact that he is God, that he's eternal. Alpha and Omega, that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. And that comes up in Revelation 2. Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Yeah, I would say so. He's eternal. He's eternal, but also I would say that he is, when it comes to our faith and our life as Christians, Jesus is
the first and the last.
I think of the verse, you know, he's the author and perfecter of our faith.
Oh, there you go.
He's the one who gives us faith.
Begins
he's the one who keeps us in the faith, finishes it, the fulfillment of our faith. So he is the first and the last. The one who then also says died and rose, he calls himself as well. And I think especially for those in Smyrna, if we think again of their context, they're going under persecution from the Romans, but also from the Jews as well. And to know that Jesus is their all in all, their first, their last, their Alpha and Omega, that's got to be a comfort.
And also to realize that there could be death. I'm sure there was persecution. There was probably people that were martyred there in Smyrna.
Yes.
But okay, that happens to Jesus too, but he's the one who died, but he's also the one who lives,
good.
As we will
I love
too.
That. Yeah. Yeah, so just as Jesus' life went, so goes ours in many ways. He's the one who died but rose. And so also through him, we have that same promise.
Yep.
Even in the midst of death, we have that promise of resurrection. And we'll get to that because we'll get there. But in the last verses of this letter, boy, it really hits that pretty hard.
I want you to know, I do not read ahead because I want to be surprised, just like the listener.
Just in case anyone's wondering, there is no preparation for this show. All right. Okay, well, let's I think we need to talk about in verse 9, what's the synagogue of Satan deal here?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, a synagogue, if you're talking about a synagogue, you're probably talking about what kind of people?
Well, the Jewish people. That's the word for their assembly. Yeah.
So where they worship, their house. Yeah, that's where they gather.
We've got churches. The Jehovah's Witness got kingdom halls, and Jews have synagogues.
Yeah. That's usually how it works. So here, talking about the Jews, the synagogue of Satan. So again, what's the deal here? Satan? Are they worshiping Satan? What's going on here? Well, if they don't believe in Christ, okay, if they don't believe in the one who is the first and the last, who died and came to life, really anything apart from Christ, and to say that their salvation apart from him is a lie. You know, when it comes down to it.
Well, and that's that whole Pentecost thing where Peter says, you know, the one whom you crucified, God has made Lord in Christ. Yeah, this is the one that Jews are supposed to be waiting for, yeah, and believing in. And no, you killed him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one who came for the Jews, yeah, who came for all people. And yet, yeah, they're missing out. And so to think that there's salvation apart from him, or he's not really the Christ, is a lie. And the father of lies is, well, Satan, the devil. You know, so if you're believing this lie, yeah, if you're not with Christ, you're against him here.
Do you think, though, that he's using this kind of very strong language here because there was this overt persecution that the Jews were inflicting upon the Christians in Smyrna? So that's what actually made them a synagogue of Satan. There are certainly many Jews out there, and they would at least listen or receive the word of God. In fact, that's how the church got started, was through the Jewish faith. But in this particular case, they are actually actively opposing and persecuting the Christians. I wonder if that might not be...
Yeah, I think this is unique to Smyrna in some, yeah, respects, too. I think that's a good point, that this active persecution of Christians here, and really, no matter where that persecution comes from of Christians, the source of it is really... the devil, really.
Well, and see, I'm thinking of this business in the book of Acts with the Apostle Paul, where you've got people that are actually plotting and planning to kill Paul just as they had killed Jesus. And I think, yeah, where you can say, well, that probably would be a synagogue of Satan.
You bet.
So it's not neutral people here, but no, people that are actually actively planning murder and violence.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, a plot to kill Paul, to kill Jesus, certainly, but also even to kill someone like Lazarus,
oh, yeah,
that Jesus rose
go.
From the dead,
yeah,
to kind of snuff him out. Yeah, it's kind of a unique circumstance here, too. So, I mean, I want our listeners to be clear that the Lord loves the Jews, and even... work through those people of Israel to bring the Savior into the world. We have those passages in the Bible, salvation first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The Lord loves all people. There's hope for the Jews through faith in Jesus Christ. But the other thing I think we need to make clear is that in Scripture, what's been revealed to us, salvation isn't found apart from,
yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah.
And so as Christians, we have the duty, the call, the privilege of being able to share that good news of Christ with others, including Jews. They may have the same hope we have. And there's ministries that do that, Christian ministries that do just that. And thanks be to God for those.
But I think it kind of goes to back what you were talking about last week in the first letter with the hatred of the works of the Nicolaitans.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, so we hate the works. But no, we love the Nicolaitans. And so, yeah, if this was a Christian congregation that was involved in hatred and murder and violence, which, sad to say, throughout history, yes, some people at least calling themselves Christians,
mm-hmm, sure,
well, then that would also be a church of Satan.
A church, yeah, of Satan, yeah,
yeah.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay.
In this case, it happens to be Jews doing it, but,
yeah,
it can very well be other groups too.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Very,
yep,
good. Good point. All right, so that's the synagogue of Satan talk. So let's go on to verses 10 and 11.
Okay. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Wow, that's... So I'm just thinking, so the Lord comes and says, well, you're going to have some real problems. I think, do not fear. Just don't tell me about it.
Yeah,
I just,
yeah,
as soon not know.
Isn't that interesting? by the same token, there's some times where the not knowing drives us crazy. You know,
yeah,
I wish,
yeah,
I knew the future. What's going to happen, Lord? Where are you leading me? And yet here he does tell them, it might not be what they want to hear, but you're going to suffer. But don't fear.
But do not fear.
Yeah.
Anyway, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has ears, who has an ear, oh, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And again, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death.
Yeah. Yeah. So here we go. You would mention about this persecution and even the fear of death itself in the face of persecution. And then these following verses, that's what they deal,
yeah,
with.
Yeah. So there it is.
Yeah. So number verse 10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. You almost get the impression they're already fearing.
Yes, yeah.
Perhaps they're
yeah.
already afraid. They've already suffered. And the Lord says there may be more to come here. But he gives them that comfort. Do not fear. Do not fear. And then he says, I think he even gets more specific, though, about some being thrown into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you have tribulation. So, again, the 10 days of tribulation. Well, when we began this look at these letters, one of the things we talked about with the book of Revelation is that symbolism,
yes,
especially
yeah.
when it comes to the numbers in Revelation. So we don't want to look at this as literally, okay, what 10 days were they in jail? And if they were thrown in prison, do they get out? Do they make the hash marks on the wall counting down the days?
That's right.
Till they get out.
One, two, three.
Yeah, I know. 10. All right.
That's it. Hey, how come I'm still in jail?
So that's not what we're talking here. But instead, that number 10 is a number that comes up quite a bit in Scripture.
And where is that, Matt?
So, well...
Since you bring it up.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Ten Commandments comes
oh, okay.
to mind.
All right. Yeah,
that's a biggie.
Yeah.
We've got a movie named after it with Charlton Heston. But other places, too. And when it talks about that number 10,
yeah.
usually it's perfection that... total completeness, and even God's perfection in the midst of this human world, this world. So I think of like the Ten Commandments, God's perfection, you know, this law that he gives of us in the midst of the world in which we live. So I think here, these 10 days, it's really, I think, pointing to the fact that, yeah, they may suffer persecution, they may be in prison, but it's still in God's hands. This is God's timetable here. It's not up to your persecutors, but God is the one in control, even if you are thrown in jail, like so many were.
And I think there's also kind of a comfort here in that it is a limited
yes.
time.
Yeah.
Because, see, I'm thinking the other way that 10 gets worked in Revelation is, of course, the number 1,000, which is 10 times 10 times 10. And that becomes the symbol for, again, as you said, completion and perfection, the totality of God's working here in terms of his program of being salvation of the world. But it's kind of interesting here, it's just 10. So 1,000 implies a longer, greater period. But yeah, this is a period, as you said, under God's control, but a temporary, a short period. Yeah,
yeah, there's a short period of suffering, imprisoned, and it's limited.
Yeah,
but what is not limited? Well, if we die apart from Christ, we have that suffering, the imprisonment in hell. And guess what? That's not just for 10 days. You know, that is
for an eternity.
For eternity.
Yeah.
But for these Christians, for this church in Smyrna, there's hope. Yeah, this
that's
limited
why I can
time.
Say, fear not.
And that's why I can say
so the worst that's going to happen is that you will die, and then you will spend an eternity with your Lord in heaven.
Yes.
Yeah. Where there will be no sorrow, no tears. Everything will be wiped. All tears will be wiped away as Revelation concludes. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's a great lead-in, I think, for what we hear then in verse 10, that last part of verse 10. If you wanted to read that again, John.
Yeah, this really is such a neat verse. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Yeah, so like you just said, you know, in spite of the persecution that may take place in this life, in this world, the crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
And you know what, Matt? See, again, as we talked about earlier, yeah, this is the letter to Smyrna, but this is a letter to us because there's a lot of people right now that are experiencing all kinds of troubles and trials. We may not be persecuted by Jews or persecuted by imperial worshipers, but the world is not an easy place for us to live in. And it's kind of a comfort to know, well, faithful unto death, and we will also receive this crown of life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think of, since we are at worldwide KFUO, I think of those in other parts of the world. Like Egypt. Boy, in the news a lot lately, just some terrible things that the Christians are going through there, that persecution. And yet, some of them, even listening from Egypt, from what I understand, even that part of the world, this promises for them too. And boy, they are keenly aware of what this letter has to say, not only to Smyrna, but to them too. Yeah. This crown of life. I like this idea of a crown, this language, this talk, and it kind of gives us a picture of those crowns that were given to those who are victorious, who are conquerors. Especially in the athletic games in this time. This wreath, this crown that was given to them, a perishable crown, as Paul talks about in other places, but a crown that was given to the victor. And here, this type of victorious conquering crown is promised for us. but only because of Jesus Christ again.
Yeah.
And if we're going to stick with that crown metaphor, it's because he wore that crown of thorns, not a very flashy or, glorious crown at all, because he died on the cross, suffered in our place. He makes this crown of life now for us possible.
Yeah, nice contrast. He wears the crown of the cross, so we might wear the crown of life. Yeah, I like that, Matt.
Yeah. And you know, to be faithful even unto death. This is a verse that's used pretty often as a confirmation verse.
Ah, yes.
And it's kind of a neat reminder at the time of confirmation. But then also sometimes confirmation verses used at funerals, right?
Yeah.
You know, this idea that faith was that was given through the word and for many at baptism.
The first and the last again. Jesus, the author and perfecter.
Exactly. Yeah, the one who made us a part of his family, gave us that faith, is the one who's going to bring us home, give us that crown of life too. And what a great reminder. The author, the perfecter, the beginning and the end. And then the other thing here too, this is kind of confusing. The very last sentence in this letter, it says, here's this conquer word again. And what's the promise for the one who conquers this time in the last?
He will not be hurt by the second death.
And so what's the second death? We only die once, right? But the second death is ultimately hell. That worst death, that damnation, that
eternal
separation,
death.
Eternal death. Yeah. Yeah, very good. And so this promise for the one who conquers, and as we talked about last week, that's made possible through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, that promise again to not be hurt by this second death, but instead have that crown of life.
And it's very touching because Jesus is acknowledging that some people in Smyrna will experience the first death as a consequence of being followers of him. But that's the thing. He's the one that died and is alive. So they will not experience the second death. Yeah.
You bet. Yeah, they may die a martyr's death. They may die a violent death. But yet, not the second death.
Yeah,
they have that hope. Yeah. So again, just encouraging book here, a letter, well, rather than a book, a letter to the church in Smyrna.
And no law here, is there, Matt?
You know, not really a condemnation or even a word of law necessarily. But boy, really gospel filled here. Acknowledges their struggles. Acknowledges that things won't be easy. Because they live in this sinful world, but yet the hope they have is really emphasized. And I think we have a little time. Just that one line there in verse 9 that we didn't really talk about, but it says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich.
Yeah.
I think that's so neat, you know, that idea that, and we know people like that too in our parishes and just in our lives. Those people who maybe literally are in poverty, don't have much money, but yet maybe on a fixed income, retired, whatever the case is, but yet they really are rich.
Yeah, rich in faith and the love of God and trust and all those things.
And all those wonderful things. And thanks be to God for that.
And there's so many of us who have so many blessings, we'd like to have that peace. Because with a lot of the earthly blessings comes a lot of anxiety and worry as well, Matt. Yeah.
You bet. So that's the letter to the church in Smyrna.
So next week we're going to Pergamum.
Is Pergamum, that right? We're off to Pergamum now. Yeah, Pergamum. Yeah, there is some law for the church in Pergamum.
Is that right?
So, and there's also there's a lot of symbolism and a lot of stuff that might leave us scratching our heads as to what in the world is Jesus talking about here in this letter.
Ah, so that looks exciting.
We'll pack that maybe. You know,
and Jenny, you can let the people in now. We're done recording. So,
all right, very good. We'll see you next week. God's blessings.